Rise and shine, Atlanta. This is the Morning Shift, and we will not talk about what happened in Sacramento last night. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson, although I have a few thoughts about it. She's the Queen of Tofu, the First Lady of Atlanta Baseball, the leader of Allie's Army, Miss Allie Mack, and the best Flavor Flav New York, love of New York impression in the business, Dylon Matthews on the ones and twos.
Also the weirdest waiver.
I know. That's
such a strange thing.
It's a pageant girl wave every single morning.
Like he's riding in the back of a Corvette in a parade.
Well, that wave looks confused because you're kind of, that's the arm is moving too much for the pageant wave. See, the arm can't move that much. It's more of a wrist hinge.
I'll get a video of it and put it up on Twitter.
It's terrifying, actually.
Because it's really a shame we're the only ones that get to see it every single
You kind of look
morning.
Like you have a clubbed hand right now with that wave. So maybe don't do that.
I really just started doing it because I did it one time just randomly, and then Bo commented on it. And I said, you know what? I might as well stick with it.
Now it's my
part
thing.
Of my persona.
I'm a pageant girl.
Now I'm a pageant girly.
Well, how was everyone's night? Did you guys get to iRace or anything? No?
Yeah, we did. It was a fun night.
Yeah?
Fun night. Yeah, it's frustrating. Chicago street course. But yeah, man, it was crazy. It was a good race.
Okay. Bo, was it a good race?
Yeah, the Braves lost 10-1 last night.
Uh-oh. You went to that over iRacing.
Yeah, I've got nothing to say to anyone in this room about iRacing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let
me put it this way. There have been promises and threats made to me if I ever dumped anyone in that race.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One person by one person. And last night, I didn't make it through the second turn.
Yeah.
Well, had the fastest qualifying time of the group. I'm in a points battle for a championship, and I was dumped. I was put out of the race immediately.
You know what's interesting, too, is I've never had a friend like Bo that just doesn't like talking about the issue at hand.
Conflict
avoidant.
You know what I
mean? Yeah, and I'm not going to diagnose this man to his face, but it is interesting because he didn't, after that second turn of the race, didn't say one word for the rest of the night. Not one. And then we kind of got done with things. It's like, Bo, did you go watch the, replay the accident? Yeah, what do you mean say? I'm mad. Yeah. I was like, all right, cool. So yeah, man, it was a rough night. I got into Bo's bumper on turn two, and he went for a little spin, and we all struggled through the night. Let's just put it that way, put it mildly.
Yeah, I lost 20 something points last night on the lead.
Oh,
on the leader. Because I
What'd
was
you
dumped.
Finish last
I was
night?
Dumped in turn two. I finished last. Thank you. Thanks
you finished
for asking.
Last because of the spin out in turn two.
Yes, because after what happens on road courses is when you end up getting dropped, spun into a wall, and you face the wrong way, everyone goes by you. And and it's a narrow area, and by the time you turn your car around, you're in last. And look, road courses are rough. All of us on road courses are bad.
Awful.
So when you give up 20 seconds, 30 seconds, you're screwed. It was lost at that point. So, you know, it's what it is. No, I don't talk because I don't talk as a defense mechanism for myself, so I don't say something that I will probably regret and cause more issues. So no, I've got nothing to say. It was somewhat of a fake apology given to me last night, and I had one ally in the league, and now that ally is gone. So now I know when the race is on the line how I'm going to race other people.
Well, they call it an accident for a reason. You know what I mean? I don't know what else
when
to say.
When accidents don't seem so accidental, Allie.
Yeah. You know? Oh, you think I wrecked you on purpose?
It felt that way, yeah.
Wow.
There are no coincidences, right?
Speaking of conspiracy theories.
Seriously. Well, we have a really big show coming up today, so I hope you can mend this battle that's happening between the two of you. In a little bit, we are going to talk about the game that was last night, Braves and A's. I sincerely hope you didn't lose sleep over this one. We'll talk about that coming up at 6:20. But 7 a.m. this morning, we have Jade Cargill, Queen of the Ring from the WWE, coming in. I am so jealous of her arms. I swear. I have tried for years
Me too.
Just to get a little definition in my arm, there's nothing, and she's just jacked.
Yeah, she's terrifying. Honestly, I know she could whoop me. There's no doubt about it, man. But that'll be an interesting conversation with her coming in here in studio. And I always love having in studio guests, being able to chop it up. And
yeah,
obviously, big event with Evolution coming up this weekend.
It's gonna be huge. But right now, Kirk Cousins, his appearance on quarterback has certainly shook things up. Yesterday, we were talking about how he felt misled by Atlanta, but deeper into the series, Kirk talked about getting hurt in the Saints game and playing through it.
Once I lost my shoulder and my elbow, should I have sat out? Should I have done something different in my rehab? You know, you have all those questions. With the information I had at the time, I made the best decision. But you also know that if you sit down week 10 and take 2 or 3 weeks or more to let it heal, you may never get your job back, you know? I remember reading Drew Brees' book back in 2010 when he first wrote it, how, you know, he made the point that he tried to never let his backup see the field, even if it was, you know, somebody who was really no threat. He just felt like you should never do that, that Doug Flutie taught him that. And so that was something I always was aware of, that, you know, in this league, if you give someone else the chance, if you want to be Wally Pipp and there's Lou Gehrig behind you, you know, that can happen.
That's so heavy, man.
It's Drew Brees' fault is what I got from that.
Well, that wouldn't be the first time we've been able to blame something in this city on Drew Brees, because he has terrorized this city for quite some time with his play on the field, him and Sean Payton. I'm just so numb with anything that Kirk Cousins says right now. I genuinely like Kirk. Always been polite, nice with his time, you know, dealing with him after all the every post game. Always very classy, nice guy. But I have a hard time believing most anything that comes out of his mouth. Now, I believe him there because he acted like a guy like that. It's hard for me to watch some of the juice he put on throws in Minnesota a week before the Raiders game and 3 weeks, I believe, after the maybe a month after the Saints injury, and believe that he was 100% injured. I do believe that he hurt his elbow and shoulder in the Saints game. I also believe that it was not 100% an injury. I think there was a lot of mental things going on. He just told you it was mental. He just told you. I think Kirk Cousins, you know, you go back and everybody, when they signed him, everybody was like, oh, Kirk Cousins a choker. He chokes in the playoffs. He doesn't win in big moments. There's a lot of truth to that. I think Kirk Cousins might be too smart for his own good at times and overthink situations. And do I believe that his elbow was hurting him? Yeah, I do. Do I believe that he was healthy enough to play at times? Yes, I also believe that. But I also think that he was then playing injured and overthinking every single thing, and it compounded every issue that he had, and he ended up Wally Pippen himself.
Yeah, I mean, this has been this whole thing, and this is crazy how much news has kind of been centered around this one part of the documentary that has come out, because obviously everybody was kind of thirsty for more insight into the situation, and you got all the insight you needed, dating back obviously to the end of the Minnesota tenure for Kirk Cousins. And I don't know, this one's been a tough one for me to diagnose, because on one hand, I am such an Atlanta Falcons fan, and I look at it and go, dude, I wish he would have let Penix start and, you know, gotten healthy and, you know, allowed Penix to, you know, come in and try to lead this team to the playoffs and the spot they were in. But as a player and looking at it from Kirk Cousins' perspective, he says he felt misled by the team. I 100% believe that. I mean, that was one of the things we talked about yesterday, is like, you know, he's signing this contract and you know, he felt like it was year to year in Minnesota and he wanted a long-term solution to the end of his career. And he said all those things in his introductory press conference. And then it made, you know, they kind of made him look like a fool by drafting Michael Penix just to, you know, a month or two later. So it's tough for me because I'm angry at him about the way the on-field product went. But as a player and a guy who's seen other players go through situations like this, I'm not even mad at him. Mm-hmm. Why would he feel any allegiance back to this franchise and back to this team when they misled everything that they thought, you know, the direction he thought his career was going? Yeah. It's frustrating. Frustrating from multiple angles for me.
I don't blame him at all for how he felt. I don't blame him for playing through it. I think what irritates me the most is the whole, why I'm on the injury report? Oh, I don't know. It was clerical. It was clerical mistake. Downplayed it. and tried to play through what he says was an injury, says he was healthy, and at times looked healthy, but then comes back and just basically, you know, oh, well, I wasn't 100%. And then I can't believe that you're truthful about everything if you don't tell me the truth 100% of the time. Which is it? I do believe he was banged up. I believe at times he felt fine, though.
So who is to blame here in this scenario? Because Kirk clearly was hurt, shouldn't have been in the game. Is it on Kirk for not explaining how hurt he was to Raheem, or is it on Raheem and the staff for not pulling him earlier?
I don't know that there is an amount of blame. I think everybody did what was best for themselves in this given scenario, and this is how the story ended up. You know what I mean? I think that Raheem and Terry both felt very strongly about Michael Penix, but you don't know that you're going to be able to draft him, so you don't go out and tell your starting quarterback, hey, we're looking at drafting Michael Penix. And obviously Zach Robinson, Colin Kirk, when they're on the clock and they're about to do it, Kirk is out for himself as well.
First off, we get stuck in this cycle of having, as sports fans and media, we have to blame someone.
Mm-hmm.
We always somebody has to be for blame or to blame, and it doesn't necessarily. It sometimes there's a perfect storm. Okay, so Kirk, maybe he's banged up against Denver. You knew he was on the injury report. You lose the game. You have a bye week. The Chargers game were some bad decisions. They weren't. You're throwing in a bench route, an out route late inside is a bad throw. It's a bad decision to make it because you made a late throw. That's not necessarily on your arm, but Kirk's never really had the arm to throw that ball late. So I don't know if the injury does that. There was just so many things. And to say, well, I would have benched him for the Raiders game. Oh, would you? Well, I'd have benched him before the Vikings game. Oh, would you? Mm-hmm. You'd have benched him and started a rookie going into Minnesota, one of the toughest places to play. Get real.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
They were supposed to do. They just signed a guy to a $180 million contract.
That whole thing where they should have benched him earlier is just ridiculous to me.
Revisionist history by fans.
It's not even part of real. Well, I should have been. No, dude. Like you were, like you said, you were not going to bench him going against one of the best teams in the NFL at home and putting Michael Penix in for a first career start.
And to Mike's point, I don't think you could bench him going into the Monday night game with the Raiders. After his arm looked okay against Minnesota.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
His decisions were bad. His arm was fine. And really, it was only one decision, and it was one throw in the first half. The last interception, you're down by two. You're trying to win the game. You're trying to make a play. It's a zero coverage, and maybe the tight end ran the wrong route.
Yeah, I hope we get more time to talk about this because there's a lot to unpack.
Oh, yeah, we're absolutely getting back into that. But if you want to talk about a perfect storm and bad decisions happening, guys, Braves, Athletics, we got to talk about it. I'm an eternal optimist, but this is brutal. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.